It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. The only show where you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And good news, or yeah, I guess it's good news. Good news, I finally know someone who died while having COVID-19.
Most people wouldn't say that's good news.
Well, this person was a real scumbag, real low life, shady, deceitful, horrible individual, full-blown psychopath, narcissistic.
Oh, yeah. God.
No one is sad to see this dude die.
Thank you, COVID.
Yeah. But so evidently, it was a shock to hear. This person was put into a nursing home whereupon they contracted SARS-CoV-2, whatever they're calling it, and then died. That now, presumably, they're saying he died of COVID-19, but that's BS. I mean, he died of obesity and other major health issues that he had that he wasn't doing anything about, including diabetes and just massive obesity. So
that's that.
Yep. Evidently, you know, it is out there killing people, but hey, I can't be sad about this particular one. Dogs, it seems, are a critical factor in spreading coronavirus, or at least the numbers here, according to this SciTech Daily piece, are really fascinating because it points out that two key factors in the spread of COVID-19 in this part of, I think it was Spain that they studied, was people who got groceries delivered to their home and people who walked dogs were both at much higher risks of contracting COVID-19 than other people. So getting groceries delivered to your home puts you at greater risk. Of course, that's not what this article really highlights. It just throws it in there sort of offhandedly. But evidently, living with a dog increases risk of contracting COVID-19, which is just all the more evidence that cats are better than dogs.
Well, maybe they just haven't studied cats yet. I don't know.
Well, they did. Cats are mentioned in the study. It was conducted by the University of Granada and, I don't know, some other schools. The authors warn of the need among dog lovers to take extreme hygiene measures regarding their pets. Sanitize your hands after petting your dog or something.
Put a glove on or something stupid like that. I wonder if it gets into what those measures are here. Extreme, not just hygiene, not just normal hygiene, but extreme hygiene.
It's not clear whether the animal acted as the host for the virus and transmitted it directly or whether they picked it up indirectly due to increased exposure of the dog to vehicles of the virus, that is, objects or surfaces where the virus lies.
Okay.
But regardless of those, the dog clearly would have gotten the disease first and then it spread to a human, right?
That's what they're suggesting, right?
Well, they said they don't know if the animal acted as the host for the virus. And they're like, oh, but the animal had an increased exposure to surfaces that contain the virus. I don't know. It's all very confusing.
Yeah, what do they really know anyway?
From a scientific point of view, there is no justification.
I mean, it is just a study.
That's true. Well, there's no justification for children's playgrounds being closed to prevent infections while parks where dogs are walked are allowed to remain open, said the authors.
The authors would like to have all of them closed, I'm sure.
Yeah, including the open-air parks where people walk their dogs. Evidently, that's just no longer acceptable.
What I thought was interesting about this was over the weekend, we had this group of visitors here in Keene. They'd come up from like New York and Connecticut and Boston, sort of like city folks and really cool group of people. One of them was telling me that, and I forget if he was saying it was Agenda 21 or...
I think I've heard of
Or
Agenda
if it was
21?
Like the Great Reset. It was one of these like ginormous plans for the world, right? Like one of these evil plots that have been publicly kind of released. And he had said that part of the plan was that people will not be allowed to have pets anymore.
Well, China did force people to cull their pets.
Cull them, as in kill them?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Rather, the Chinese authorities did it for them. I don't remember now because that was back in January or February.
Well, and remember, I think we talked about a story, it was last week or 2 weeks ago, about the minks in Denmark them exterminating, literally exterminating the entire population, the entire commercial population at least.
Something like 15 million of them.
Millions and millions of little innocent lives being completely snuffed out by the government, supposedly to keep somebody safe from COVID, on the theory that the mink could carry the COVID and get a person sick, which, of course, as we know, most people who contract COVID will not die from it. The super majority of them will not die from it. So, but they just, you know, oh, we're being super safe. We're going to just exterminate 15 million animals. So
that's still horrifying.
Now, obviously, people are less likely to allow this to be done to their dogs. But given how obedient and how frightened people are, it wouldn't surprise me if they could get away with killing people's animals and like getting them to be okay with it.
Well, they're going to have to kill me first.
Did
this person happen to know why they don't want people having pets?
I think it was just to make people that much more depressed and controllable. I mean, just take the thing that they love out of their life. And if you look at what's happening around us, that's what's happening, right? Like, so you've seen just recently there's stories about Thanksgiving restrictions. Nope, you can't have Thanksgiving anymore. But if you're going to have Thanksgiving, Joe Biden, I saw him in a clip on Vincent's show on DLive the other night saying that, well, we don't think you should have Thanksgiving, but if you're going to, then you need to show that you have show your family that you have a test that is clear for COVID-19 done within 24 hours of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Of course, I don't do Thanksgiving anyway, but if I did, I wouldn't do that. I'm tempted to do it this year just because of COVID-19.
You couldn't do it, though. The thing is, like, even if you wanted to be obedient, which we don't, but if you wanted to, if you wanted to follow Biden's restrictions or suggestions or whatever they are, it would be impossible. So many people would be contacting the testing centers to, you know, schedule appointments 24 hours in advance? I mean, you'd have lines down the block for all the people that just want to go see their family, but they're too obedient, you know, and they're not going to just go. They want to ask permission first.
Most of these people are so obedient that they wouldn't go to a family gathering anyway.
That's right.
So I imagine the numbers wouldn't be that out of control.
Still,
but
though,
who knows, man?
I mean, it would be lines. It would be because some
would
people
be lines.
Do want to see their families. But that is part of, I think, what's going on here is separating people from the place that they work, separating people from their friends, separating people from their family members. And if they could separate you from your dog, too, why wouldn't they?
Well, if they separated us from entertainment, they separated us from going out and doing things in public.
Right.
Even now, I mean, you can still go to the bars here in New Hampshire, but that's pretty much the extent of your entertainment options, as I understand them. In many states, you can't even do that now. They just lock down again, I think, in Vermont. Well, they forced the restaurants to close at 10 o'clock p.m. because, obviously, COVID-19, that 10 o'clock p.m. is when it really starts getting contagious.
Several places are closing restaurants inside, period.
Yeah.
Once again, right back to the same restrictions from earlier this year. There's multiple stories about different states. Although there is a headline at, I think, Wall Street Journal, which, of course, is behind a paywall, but talking about how Florida is actually standing firm and not re-restricting.
So is New Hampshire at the moment. New Hampshire hasn't really opened back up fully anyway. I mean, no state has, except maybe Florida. But Sununu is saying that, you know, there are currently no plans to
South Dakota never really did any kind of lockdown.
Okay,
and
awesome.
And the governor there is not going to, apparently.
Surprisingly, Sununu cited the economic consequences of the shutdown as the reason why we won't have another.
Interesting.
But, you know, that could all change if he gets under enough pressure to...
Sure.
The hospitals are being overwhelmed. We have to do something. This is insane, though, because there's this other story here from the New York Post about how even once the vaccine is out, masks and social distancing are still going to be necessary. Do people not understand that this is a virus? It's never, ever, ever going to go away. And if the vaccine doesn't eliminate it, then you're going to be stuck social distancing and wearing a mask literally for the rest of your life.
Well, the vaccine doesn't eliminate the flu.
No, of course not.
So this is not going to eliminate COVID-19. Or it won't eliminate COVID-20 if it eliminates COVID-19 or COVID-21 or whatever.
It certainly won't eliminate any of them. And the argument is that, you know, this mask stuff is just, it's going to be forever. The social distancing, forever.
Get the vaccine or we're...
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. 855-450-3733 is the toll-free number. And Bitcoin is the only really good news going on today.
Man, is it good news.
It is. Is it like 17,600, something yeah. along those lines? I mean, it's up 53% or 55%.
Yeah.
In the last 30 days.
Amazing.
So head on over to Bitcoin.com. If you don't know anything about Bitcoin, if you don't know anything about cryptocurrency, Bitcoin.com is where you can go to learn about it. If you are aware of it and you just want to buy some, they have an exchange. You can find it at exchange.bitcoin.com.
Or use your VPN if you're in the U.S.
Absolutely. Or if you want to buy Bitcoin Cash, which is actually usable as a currency, then head on over to local.bitcoin.com. The only worldwide exchange that actually respects your privacy. It encrypts all your communications with buyers and sellers. You can buy Bitcoin Cash using PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, and so many other methods. Bitcoin.com. It's not too late. People are always saying, oh, I missed the boat. I wish I had bought it back when it was $15. And then I wish I'd bought when it was $500. And
but I'm not sad that I bought some at $9,000 or $10,000.
No, give these people a year and they're going to be saying, oh, God, I wish I'd bought it when it was $20,000. It's like, people, it is time to move on this.
Yeah.
It's never too late. The ship has not sailed. It will sail eventually. But at the moment, Bitcoin.com is where you can go to learn all about it. Bitcoin.com.
Well, so obviously, we don't know what the price is going to do. I mean, it could crash tonight, but we don't know.
The long-term history of Bitcoin has a clear trajectory in one direction.
It sure does.
So,
and in fact, as this price keeps going up and up and up and up, the peak is what, like 19,000 and change, 20,000 on some markets. I don't think it ever went much higher than the high 19s or the early 20,000. So
we're super close to an all-time high.
Yeah, the higher it goes up, the number of days on which, like, if you bought in 2017, in December or late December, whenever that peak came, I think it was either late December, early January, somewhere in that range.
I think it was late December.
Yeah, I think it was late December.
January, the crash was already underway.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. But anyway, if you had bought like at 19,000, there was only a few days where it was that high, right? So if you bought at 17,000 and you held, you've made money if you sold it tonight, right? Yep. So almost everyone who's had Bitcoin, except for just that 1 week or whatever, how long it is, 8 days or 9 days, whatever it was, where it was between what it is now and its peak, everyone else who's ever bought Bitcoin at any price has seen it appreciate in value.
Unless they bought high and sold low, which
if you didn't sell.
Sure, okay. Yeah, true.
If you had the foresight that I'm just going to hold and just... It hurt, right? Like if you bought it $17,000,
oh, yeah, that hurt.
And then it just crashed down to 9,000. Ultimately, I think it crashed as low as what, $5,000 or something like
that.
It
got pretty close to 5,000. I don't know if it went under or not.
It definitely got to like close to five, and yeah, that hurts, right? Like, but if you never sold it, then you're doing fine.
Yeah.
If you just had to wait 3 years,
you're at least pretty much breaking even.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 years ago today, Bitcoin was at like 6,700, something like that. And I remember posting about them like, oh, my God, this is huge.
Yeah.
We're going to finally break 9,000. And then now I'm looking at 17,000. I'm like, eh. I mean, it's big news. But for whatever reason, it's not wowing me like it did in 2017. You know, I'm thrilled about it. This is great news, but it's not something that
once
I'm like,
it hits 30, you'll be wowing it.
Yes, I will be. Yeah. Let's go.
I'm ready.
Always ready for 30. We've got Larry calling from Indiana. Larry, you're on Free Talk Live.
How you doing, Bill?
Hey, what's on your mind?
Well, you know, the more I look into this Model States Emergency Health Powers Act, and there being another revised thing on quarantine and the emergency health powers and laws for the common good, I find that the governor has the authority to issue any kind of isolation or any kind of emergency declaration without consulting any health official, mm-hmm. and that he also has an unabridged police power during that emergency. So what happens is he can command the state militia, he can command the ATF, he can command the Homeland Security or any local police force to carry out any provisions. And what that means is we just had something to go into effect where the ATF and the Homeland Security were enforcing the ordinance that they have for regulations on the number of people you can have in your business. And that's been in effect for 2 days, and over 650 complaints have been filed. And those businesses, if they get caught again, they're going to shut their business down for 30
wow.
days.
So, 600. So wait, just a minute, just to make sure I'm understanding. You're saying that in the state of Indiana, which is where you're calling from, that over 650 complaints were filed in a two-day time span by snitches, by little bitches that have gone into those businesses and saw somebody not wearing a mask or whatever. One of the, they you know, had too many people in the business or whatever. That's what those complaints are about.
And the ATF have been filing them in Homeland Security. So all they're doing, I don't know what their plan is, but it's all laid out in this Model Health Buzz, Model State Emergency Health Buzz Act that the state adopted from a draft that was issued after 9/11. Mm. So this is just akin to the Patriot Act, but they're enforcing this now. And like you said, I don't care if they get a vaccine or not. It's not going to stop. Because they know that they can destroy this country without firing one shot if they keep this.
They really
up.
Are. The people are letting it happen. So
they,
I mean, it's,
it happen.
If people didn't bend over and just do everything they were told to do, then they wouldn't be able to destroy the economy.
Or look at what's coming, you know, because whatever they have that they can, man is always going to do a sign nature to do the worst with whatever we get, you know. And, you know, I found another thing, too, that after we dropped the two bombs on Japan, right, we went over there and forced them to wear masks. And also, we dumped truck loads of tranquilizers on their people and had just go in the pharmacy and pick up tranquilizers. So I don't know whether it's karma or what it is, but this mask thing is really degrading. I tell you,
yeah,
it's
it is.
Degrading.
It's
well,
inhumane.
It can't be karma because I didn't have anything whatsoever to do with dropping the atomic bombs on Japan.
I don't know. It could be generational, but after the aftermath of that is where they forced them to wear masks. Just go research Japan right after the war in 47.
Well, masks are what you do to people that you own, right? You can force people.
Yeah.
You're right. You can force people that you own to wear whatever you want them to dehumanize
them.
They look
like puzzles, and they're just training us to say, "Hey, come on, let's get it. You need to take a shower." And you know what the shower is? What it is where the Nazis marched the Jewish people, and you say you need to take a shower and scrub up. And that was the real gas chamber, and you know, to see the way it's going, you know, with so many disabled and sick people, it makes up more than half of our population, and they don't seem to care if we have quarantine or anything else, it's just as long as their money don't get cut off.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, Larry, thank you so much for the call. I'm not sure I agree that this is in any way comparable to, you know, Nazi gas chambers, but it's certainly alarming that so many people are just willing to just blindly obey whatever edicts the government hands down and not questioning these emergency orders.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. And don't worry, America, everything is fine. Your government has everything under control. All you have to do is obey the authorities. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Aria.
And it's Ian.
And we're talking about this study, which was carried out on 2,086 individuals in Spain, where they were seeking various factors looking for patterns in COVID-19 infections. And one of the ones they found was that among dog owners, there is a higher prevalence of having contracted COVID-19. It doesn't give the exact number at this point, or it does, but it's buried in all of these other unrelated numbers. Who knows? The sociodemographic variables analyzed, the one with the most powerful effect in terms of increasing one's risk of contracting COVID-19 by up to 78%, actually, was living with a dog and taking it for a walk. By contrast, having cats or other types of pets had no significant effect on the prevalence of the disease. Now, I wonder if that's true for people who walk their cats. Because there's this guy in Keene who walks his ferret around.
Yeah.
And a lot of people pet the ferret. Will his ferret, is it the dog? Is there something unique about the dog, or is it the act of walking the dog that is causing the 78% increase in risk?
I don't know. I mean, it is
they
just,
don't know either.
It is just one study, and also it's important to remember that correlation is not causation. So in the case of the study, they noticed that more people who had dogs also had COVID, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the dogs are transmitting the COVID to those people. It's just an observation that they did.
Yeah, it's just a pattern they noticed.
Yeah, although I have noticed that when I had a dog, she passed away in August of this year after 16 and a half wonderful years.
She's an old girl, man.
Yeah, and she was having a great life, and people loved her, and they would always, you know, say nice things about her on the streets. But once COVID happened, there were fewer people that would be willing to stop and pet the dog on the streets. And it was just like, man, even being a dog is more difficult and depressing.
That's tragic. It reminds me of my father, who routinely goes to visit my sister and continually tells my nephews, no, don't hug me, stay back, because he's so terrified of getting COVID-19 that he won't hug his nephew. Just like these people you're talking about, who are so terrified of this that they won't pet a happy, friendly, loving dog.
Right. Like literally preventing their child from petting a friendly dog.
That's horrifying.
That happened on the streets here in this neighborhood.
And people, I don't think, appreciate how horrifying all of this nonsense really is. I mean, kids are being permanently traumatized as a result of this crap, psychologically damaged for life because of this crap, so that you can protect your 85-year-old grandmother in the nursing home. Your kids are being tortured.
This is the craziest thing is, I mean, look, I'm not a grandparent, but I could put myself in their shoes, and I can understand why some people would be like this. I think most grandparents, and correct me if I'm wrong, toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. I think if most people were in their 80s and they knew that they had grandchildren coming up in the world and they were given the choice of, well, do I want to do everything I can to live an extra, you know, year or two or whatever they might possibly live if they completely say, you know, cut off themselves from every aspect of society and all of their family and never being able, you know, having to wave at them through a window or connect to them only on voice, you know, voice
or use
video
one of
chat.
these hug curtain the things curtains. That you showed me.
Yeah.
God.
The cuddle curtain.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah.
They've been just called different things. But
it's just a sheet of plastic between
so
people
sad.
And they're trying to hug through it.
It's so sad. Some of them even have like arm sheaths on it. So you put your arms through like plastic sheaths.
I mean, at that point, you might as well just go to jail and sit behind one of the plexiglass things on the phone, touching their hands through the glass.
Right. And they're doing that in some nursing homes, from what I understand. But wouldn't you, and I'm not just asking you, Ari, I mean, you, the listener, as an elderly person, wouldn't you be willing to say, you know what, I'd rather risk my death in order to ensure that my grandchild or children have a better life? Wouldn't most of them do that?
I would hope so, but the Americans don't realize how narcissistic and how selfish they truly are. We're being told the selfish ones because we don't want to traumatize entire generations of people. We don't want to destroy the economy. We don't want to see all of these horrible things happen. We don't want to see more suicides, more drug addiction, more alcohol addiction. We don't want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
We'd rather our lives go back to normal. Sure, some people are going to die, but the consequences of what we're seeing with suicides, anxiety, depression, the traumatizing of an entire generation of kids.
Right. We haven't even seen those consequences yet. That's going to be years before we really get to see how effed up these kids are going to be.
They're going to be monumentally screwed
up, man. Oh, my God.
I can't even imagine it.
I can't even imagine. There's so much that I see when I'm just going around in regular everyday life watching these people around me. Like, I just can't even fathom being these people. Being so afraid. We were just reading this article down at the bottom. It talks about sanitizing all of your groceries. Like, if you want to be super safe, you got to sanitize all your groceries, every single product that you buy from the grocery store. You got to spend an hour or 2 hours or however the hell long it would take to go through and wipe them all down. Well, they talk about these extreme hygiene measures. Just absolutely insane. But wouldn't most, because, like, think about the things people say about their kids, right? Like, parents say things like, I would do anything for my children.
But they wouldn't. That's a lie. That's them telling themselves a lie. They would do anything for themselves, and their kids are more often than not a vehicle for that.
Apparently it was a lie, but I don't know. I kind of thought people meant it, right? Like, people say things like that, and they make it sound like they mean it. Like, grandparents, I think a lot of them would. I think a lot of them would understand that, hey, you know what? My grandchild's life is more important. They're going to be around longer than I am. I'm on my way out. I'm going to die at some point. I'm 84 years old or 80 years old, or, you know, in the case of men, 74 years old.
I didn't think most grandparents would feel like that.
Yeah.
But the parents not.
Right. So the parents aren't letting them. That would actually be really sick, right? Like, if grandma was like, you know, I'm happy to hug my grandchild. No, I don't want a plastic sheet. I want to actually contact my loved one here. No, thanks to the plastic sheet. And then their son or daughter gets in the way and says, no, we can't possibly have you die, Mom. No, we have to have the plastic sheet. I mean, just this, the amount of insanity is just, it's so shocking. It's so depressing.
The one curveball here is that we don't know what the old people think. We do know what the middle-aged people think, right?
Well, we know what some of them have called in.
They're the ones voting, and they're the ones writing the laws. They're the ones imposing the mandates. The people who are 40 to 50 years old.
We've had more than one elderly person call this show with the attitude of, I don't care. I'm just going to go out and do what I want.
Yeah.
You know? So I do want to know, what is the portion of the elderly populace that is deathly afraid of this versus the portion who would be like, yeah, I would like to hug my grandchildren?
I don't know, but
I'll take the risk.
I know for sure it's affecting children. Because,
oh my God, how couldn't it?
My nephew's always been introverted, kind of quiet,
sure,
kid. Always had friends, never really lonely, but never minded spending time by himself playing video games or whatever. Hearing my sister describe him as being extremely lonely was shocking. This kid hasn't seen any of his friends since March.
Unbelievable.
Eight months have passed. No, how many months
is that?
Eight months. 8 months, and he has not seen a single one of his friends.
Is your sister keeping him at home?
No, the state is not allowing them to interact with friends.
They can't even, like, sneak out and go and play, you know, at a ditch or something like that.
I don't know. I'm not in Mississippi anymore.
In the woods?
I don't know the circumstances on the ground
happened,
there.
You know?
Just know that he hasn't been able to see his friends in like 8 months.
See, like when I was growing up, I'd sneak out the damn window of my house if it came to it.
Well, he's like 11. Know? Well,
okay.
I would have snuck out of my house at 11 too, but I tend to think he probably wouldn't because he's actually a good kid and I was not.
Man.
I was a natural rebel and he's just sort of not. But yeah, it's...
I can't even imagine it. I can't imagine the kind of damage that is doing to young people. And then the kids who are starting school this year for the very first time, the ones who've never experienced normal school. Not that school's a good thing. I'm not saying
school's awful.
But just from the social aspect of it, you do get to see people. And now you don't get any of that. Now that's not a thing. Now they're just little pictures on a computer screen.
And we have pretty good reason to believe that the younger generations aren't concerned about COVID-19. I mean, look at what the college kids are doing. They're still partying. They're still going out and drinking in bars. They don't seem to care. So it just seems to be that middle-aged faction that is up in arms about this. Maybe we're wrong. What do you think? 855-450-3733. Call in and correct. Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. What do you think? Are we wrong about how grandparents and great-grandparents feel? Would they rather actually hug their grandchildren and allow their grandchildren to thrive in a comfortable, not insane environment?
Yeah, I would hope so.
Or would they rather, you know, cling desperately to another 6 months of life in that miserable nursing home talking to people through
the worst life you could possibly imagine?
Yeah. Well, even if they were at home, you know, would you rather go through all of these measures to save yourself for another 6 months or another 2 to 3 years? Or would you rather let your grandchildren go up in a world that was, you know, normal and not traumatizing them. 855-450-3733. Normal Sweden, I'm told, remains some level of normal. I know they did at one point impose
not
a
anymore.
Sort of lockdown, but
no,
it was like a...
it was voluntary.
I thought they imposed a restriction of like only 50 people in a
gathering.
They
did end up doing something like that.
But the number was so high it was like inconsequential, really, wasn't it?
Compared to everywhere else, I mean, it was pretty high. Most of their provisions weren't like mandated. But that's changing, according to MarketWatch.com. Sweden is switching from its voluntary lockdowns to a much more aggressive approach that will see public events of more than 8 people banned. The Nordic country was one of the few countries that didn't go into an enforced lockdown and has rejected the need for masks. In October, they drew up guidelines for a voluntary lockdown in cities worst hit by coronavirus, but in a dramatic U-turn yesterday, new restrictions will no longer be a recommendation, but instead enshrined in law as part of Sweden's Public Order Act, which means there will be harsh penalties for violating them. Lawbreakers could face fines or up to 6 months in prison.
6 months in prison?
Yep.
For gathering with more than 8 people.
The restriction is aimed at public events such as sporting events and concerts and doesn't extend to private gatherings.
Okay. So you can still have a party in your home with more than 8 people, but if you want to go see a football game,
you're screwed.
You have to stay under 7 people? That's so asinine.
Yeah, 7 or less. Prime Minister Stefan Löfven told citizens, "It's going to get worse. Do your duty and take responsibility to stop the spread of infection." He said further, "There should not be social situations with more than 8 people, even if they are not formally affected by the law. This is the new norm for the whole society, for all of Sweden. Don't go to the gym. Don't go to the library. Don't have dinners. Don't have parties. Cancel."
And this is never going away, people. Coronavirus is never going away. COVID-19 is never going away. This worldview that they're crafting with these kinds of lockdowns, they will be permanent going forward. You think one day you're going to get to take that mask off, you're going to go to the bar and hang out with your friends and maybe give them a hug? It's never coming back.
Do it right now, because you can do it. As long as the bar will let you in, you can still do that in some places.
At some point, people are going to have to stop resisting, but they have
start
this... Start
resisting,
yeah. They have this illusion in their minds that, you know, this is just temporary. This is just a 2-week lockdown.
Right, right.
All of
remember, when Joe Biden gets elected, it'll all just go away.
Yeah, once we get that vaccine, everything will be fine, even though the health experts are saying that, oh, yeah, even with the vaccine, you're still going to have to
keep wearing
social
masks,
distancing. You're still going to have to keep
wearing,
It's absolutely insane.
Surprise, everybody. They lied to you.
Yes, it's permanent. What he's talking about here, this is never going to go away. They may lift it.
He even said it's the new normal. He said, this is the new norm for the whole society, for all of Sweden. Don't go to the gym. Don't go to the library. Don't have dinners. Yep. Don't have parties.
This is your life now in Sweden. Don't go to the gym. Don't exercise your mind or your body with the library or the gym.
Don't exercise your social abilities by talking to people in person.
Now, they were the only country in Europe that tried this herd immunity sort of approach, right? Which is this idea of...
They just tried the voluntary approach, and it worked fine because their infection rate wasn't any higher than any of the surrounding areas. And in fact, Belarus was also in the news. They're still doing fine. In fact, their rate is actually lower.
I want to know why the United States is the one mocked on a world scale, because most of our states did have some sort of mandatory mask requirement.
It's because it was Trump.
Yeah, that's true. If it was Biden who did all of this in the same exact circumstances,
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, because purportedly he's the president-elect, if you know you believe the mainstream media. And so he'll have his chance to prove it, right? He's going to prove whether he can do it better than Trump. And of course, he won't be able to do anything differently.
No,
but they'll make excuses for him. They'll say, well, because it was Trump who screwed it up in the first place, Biden couldn't fix it. It was out of control. It was all because of Trump. So Biden's hands were tied. I'm just predicting what they might say.
Well, they're certainly not going to give Biden a hard time about it, no matter how things develop. He does evidently have plans. A lot of wild rumors are circulating. It's amazing what the people I work with conclude based on things they see on Facebook posts. Several of my coworkers actually believe, first of all, they believe they're one day going to get a second stimulus check.
There's a good possibility for that.
I don't see it happening, man. They've been talking about a second stimulus check since the first one.
It won't be worth what the first one was.
I don't think it will ever happen.
Because $1,200, even if it's the same amount, it won't buy the same amount of stuff.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But people who did take my advice, and I'm not a financial advisor, but I suggested that people take that $1,200 and use it to buy Bitcoin. Those people who did that are probably very happy right now.
Yes,
because that's probably, from May, that's probably about a 300% increase. I think
not
it was like,
quite.
Wasn't it like $7,000 in May?
It's only gone up 100% in the last, or 110% or whatever in the last year. So, okay. I mean, it's definitely up quite a bit since May.
So, yeah, I don't think another one's going to be coming. But they also believe that Joe Biden plans. Now, this is how detached I don't want to say my coworkers are detached from reality because they're really not. But this is how little thought people put into the things that they believe and the things that they are saying. They believe that Biden is going to pose a national 6 to 8 week lockdown for everyone.
I'm opting out.
This means for Walmart, for Amazon, for postal carriers, for gasoline, for gas stations, for convenience stores. They believe everyone is going to be sent home and they'll just keep receiving paychecks.
Let's just starve people.
Yes, for 6 to 8 weeks. And they're like, hey, this is going to be a good idea. I'd love to sit at home for 6 to 8 weeks and just get paid to do it. And I'm like, dude, what are you going to eat during those 6 to 8 weeks?
Hey, maybe Americans will actually lose some weight.
Maybe, in which case they won't suffer from so much obesity and maybe the death rate from COVID-19 will go down.
I'm joking, of course. Obviously, people need to have some food at some point.
But. And we could always try socialism if people want to lose weight. It's number
it's
one.
Working great in Venezuela.
It is.
People are dropping the pounds right off, all the way down to the bones.
I mean, you got to think about it. Drinking sewer water has to fully flush out any sort of food in your body. It's got to be.
Yeah, that'll flush out any kind of health in your body, too.
So let's go to the phones. We got Penguin calling from Virginia. Penguin, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, I just wanted to call about the news. I don't know. I think it's breaking news. Lil Wayne, the rapper, got arrested. And what
That's
he was arrested
news?
For was felon. He got arrested again, and he's got arrested for felon with in possession of a firearm and ammunition.
Oh, shoot.
He had some charges. Yeah, and so the thing was, he was on a private plane. Mm-hmm. He had a gold-plated handgun in his personal luggage, and he was...
he had a gold-plated handgun? Really?
Of course he did.
That's pretty sweet.
And they searched it.
It's pretty trashy, man.
Yeah, and now he's getting fed charges. So
he was on a private plane, so he thought that he wouldn't be searched? Because from what I understand, if you're on a private plane, a lot of times you don't get searched.
Yeah, they had a tip. Feds had a tip, boarded the plane.
Some snitch ratted out Lil Wayne. Now, I don't know anything about this guy. Can you tell me a song that he did that I might know?
Oh, a ton. Well, you know, the phrase bling bling back when he was like 15, he did that chorus. He's the guy that first said bling bling on national television. Huh.
I don't have an idea.
I know what the phrase means, but that's not really a song.
No. It was a song.
Okay.
Bling, bling.
Well, I don't know the song then.
We've done a bunch since then. In the intervening 20 years. But,
thanks, Penguin, for the call. In other rapper-related news, Kanye West is threatening to leave the United States over the election results.
He's mad he didn't win, huh?
Yeah, and apparently he's really upset with his wife, Kim Kardashian, because she didn't support his presidential nomination. The dude got like 40,000 votes throughout the United States. He spent $12 million on this nonsense.
Wow.
Look, he seriously thought he was going to win. He seriously thought that doing this write-in thing, spending this money, was going to cause him to overcome the machinery of the state and somehow become president. 40,000 votes, though. 10,000 of them coming from the state of Tennessee. He was very popular there. But he didn't get the results he wanted, so now he wants to take his ball and go away. And Kanye, more power to you. Please go away. More on Sweden, more on the coronavirus. Evidently, Sweden is reversing courses. This is the new normal, they said. Get used to it. Don't go to the gym. Don't go to the library. 855-450-FREE, as in freedom.
News from news.bitcoin.com. Bitcoin breaks 16,000 as Congress is poised to pump even more unbacked dollars into the market. John McAfee pumps Ghost, his crypto token, from prison. Threats from the SEC? Ignored. New Wyoming congresswoman is a Bitcoin holder. Law enforcement moves long dormant Silk Road Bitcoin billion. Trump and Biden tied over who stinks more for crypto. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. The only show on national radio where you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind using the toll-free number 855-450-3733. With you tonight is Aria and Ian. And quarantine fatigue is real, evidently, coming to us from the Atlantic. But the quarantines aren't going away anytime soon. In fact, they seem to be getting worse because, obviously, it's now mid-November. Coronavirus cases are climbing as they were always going to do.
Mm-hmm.
People, I don't know how anyone didn't see this coming. Did they think it was going to be the problem? It was going to be solved by then. The problem was going to go away by
then. Some people saw it coming. They knew that the fall and the winter time were the bigger flu seasons, right? That's when people get more sick. So I think some people definitely expected this.
I thought the entire point of all of this nonsense was to flatten the curve, mm-hmm. so that we could get the equipment we needed, we could get the medical staff that we needed, we could, you know, work out some sort of treatment for it, and we've accomplished all of those things so that we could have these surges in the fall and in the winter, and the hospitals would be equipped to handle it.
Apparently, they didn't accomplish that because they're saying that the ICUs are full. In some places. Now, I don't know how many places, but supposedly Utah's ICUs are full. And so that's why the governor of Utah issued a mask mandate last week or whenever it was. Now you got North Dakota. That governor is changing his viewpoint. And he is mandating that the people of North Dakota put on masks and limit the size of gatherings.
Yeah, in order to save you, the government must destroy you. Vermont's governor is banning multi-household social gatherings in a new coronavirus crackdown.
Translation, they're banning Thanksgiving.
Yes, essentially.
Yeah.
So Governor Phil Scott on Friday announced a temporary
ban. A Republican,
is he?
You.
In Vermont? Wow.
Yep.
He announced a temporary ban on, quote, public and private multi-household gatherings. Another shutdown of bars and clubs, as well as other new restrictions following renewed concerns over the spread of the coronavirus.
Right. We talked about just within the last week or two, they have restricted travel from all but, I think, three places. I think like Hawaii, D.C., and one other
Vermont
place.
Has.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, even if you're traveling, I think they have an exception for essential workers traveling from like New Hampshire and Massachusetts.
Yeah, there is an exception for so-called essential workers.
But I can't imagine that's going to remain in place much longer. I see the borders getting closed. And I don't know.
Could be. The question is, do they have the staff to actually close the borders? Because Vermont's not a big state. There's not a whole lot of, I mean, the total number of state troopers can't be that large.
Well, they wouldn't really have to. They would just have to put barricades on the bridges.
But they won't be able to restrict. I'm saying you'd have to have somebody. You'd have to have somebody working the barricade because you still would need to let truckers through.
Right? Good point.
How's Vermont going to eat? Unless, you know, there might be some people with gardens in Vermont, but it isn't going to be enough to feed the entire state.
I don't want to give them ideas, but I imagine they would just keep like one interstate open and have staff there and have the others just locked down, saying, "Hey, look, if you want to deliver through Vermont,
got to go this way.
This is the route you have to take." That
don't
would be
yeah,
my
you
guess.
Are giving them ideas.
Yeah. I don't want to see that. He says, we now have no choice but to restrict social gatherings, whether in homes, bars, or a parking lot after a game.
Wow.
So starting today, multi-household gatherings, both inside and outside, whether in public or private spaces, are prohibited. Oh, man. We're not in Vermont, but if we were, we would be violating his tweet.
Because we're from different households?
Yeah. This is a tweet that we're talking about. Yeah. I imagine
it's an order.
It will ultimately get put forward as a law. But the ban applies to both indoor and outdoor gatherings,
wow.
holiday get-togethers, and other celebrations. The only exception is that individuals who live alone can visit other members of their immediate family who reside elsewhere. So, but only if you live alone.
Okay.
Can you have a multi-household gathering, apparently? This is bizarre. How does this going to have any impact whatsoever?
Oh, it'll have an impact.
Well, yeah. Well,
make people kill themselves.
We've had tremendous success thanks to the hard work of Vermonters, but we are at a pivotal moment, Scott said during a news conference. We're always at a pivotal moment, aren't we? This is always the most important election. It's always an unprecedented time.
He says we've had, quote, tremendous success, you just said.
Yes.
But yet, he also said just a few moments prior to that, that they have to do this.
Yes.
So if it was tremendous success, wouldn't they not have to do this?
We have an opportunity right now to get our arms around this record growth.
But only after we go through the cuddle sheet.
And this is successful. This record growth is Vermont's success, by the way.
Record growth?
And return to the case stability we've grown accustomed to. But we all have to step up and recommit to following all current health guidance and to limit our contacts as much as possible. At the same time, the state is actively expanding testing and contact tracing protocols, so we are even better positioned to hunt down this virus and stop it in its tracks.
Doesn't work like that, bro.
No, it doesn't.
It's a virus.
And the Orwellian nature of all of this is like, okay, you have to stay in your home, no gyms, no libraries. And if you do go outside of your home, we have to be able to track everyone you've been in touch with and everything you've done over the last 30 days. And oh, by the way, all of this information is freely available to us thanks to Google, which you're carrying
about
around in your
been.
Pocket all of the time.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The governor's office said that 71% of new cases in October and early November had been connected to private parties and other social gatherings. The ban went into
People
effect
are
Saturday
having fun.
At 10. Yeah, can't have
Where's
that.
The fun, police?
Other new restrictions include the shuttering of bars and social clubs for in-person service and suspension of most recreational sports, other than sanctioned school sports.
It's okay.
Yeah.
The government's sports, they're fine.
Yeah. There will also be new contact tracing and testing requirements.
Oh, boy.
And Scott is ordering a 10 p.m. curfew for in-person dining because, I mean, we all know coronavirus, it's not nearly as contagious at 9:59 as it is at 10 o'clock. I mean, that's just science. That's settled.
Obviously, it's totally the case.
There's also a ban on sitting with people from a different household at restaurants.
God.
I don't know what else to say other than God.
It's just absolutely horrifying.
The move comes after New York Governor Andrew Cuomo implemented a 10 p.m. curfew for bars and restaurants in his state and set a cap on private at-home gatherings at 10 people ahead of the holidays. Well, at least in New York, you can have a gathering as long as it's fewer than 10 people or 10 or fewer people. In Vermont, you can't even do that unless you live alone, in which case, presumably, no one cares about your life, so you can go out and get COVID. I don't know what the argument is for that. But that Vermont isn't the only state doing this, though.
No, no.
We've got South Dakota. We've got Chicago.
South Dakota actually hasn't done any kind of restrictions in recent whatever. It's actually North Dakota.
Okay. North Dakota is the one I meant them.
Mandating masks and such. And again, that's another Republican governor. So now a lot of the Republicans had been going, nah, 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 you know, at the Democrats, our state's better. But now all these Republican governors are coming on board. So
what is North Dakota doing?
Same crap. Story from the AP. After months of resisting ordering the people of North Dakota to wear masks and limit the size of gatherings, the state's Republican governor relented in an effort to stem a coronavirus surge that's among the worst in the U.S. and that threatens to overwhelm the state's hospitals. Governor Doug Burgum's executive order Friday night came as a surprise, and only hours before the state recorded new daily records for hospitalizations and infections. Notice they didn't say deaths. Throughout the pandemic, the former software executive has been leaving it to individuals to take personal responsibility for slowing the spread of the virus, beseeching the public during his weekly press briefings to wear masks, but emphasizing a, quote, light touch, unquote, by government. But in a video message announcing his new restrictions, which took place Saturday and will remain in effect until December 13th, so just 3 or 4 weeks, a somber Burgum said, quote,
yeah, that's what they said back in March, and then again in April.
He said, our situation has changed, and we must change with it. He said in his news release that the state's doctors...
I agree. So why are you trying the same tactics that every single other state has tried and that have not worked?
Great question. Because we've seen that in New Hampshire, the cities that have the greatest restrictions, Nashua, also have the largest amount of infections, strangely.
And one came before the other. Them having the highest number of infections came after they introduced the strictest requirements.
Right. They've had those requirements in place for a while.
It's clearly not helping the situation. Stop destroying people's lives. Stop exercising such an extreme level of control over them. Let people be free. What do you think? Maybe we got this entire thing wrong. Maybe coronavirus is a really big deal and we should all be afraid. Should I be afraid? 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk. It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about whatever's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, as in free of fear. With you tonight, it's Aria.
And it's Ian.
And you've heard us talk about Divi here on Free Talk Live, and maybe you've wanted to set up one of their masternodes or a stake Divi so that you can start earning Divi right now. Well, Ian has actually set up a masternode, and he reported that it was super easy, and staking was even easier. We're not investment advisors here on Free Talk Live, but we think you'll be impressed with your earning potential with Divi as compared to traditional investment vehicles. Go to DiviProject.org and get started. You can buy Divi at several exchanges or directly from the Divi team. If you need help, there is a link to their Telegram channel right on the front page at DiviProject.org. That's DiviProject.org. And the madness is not going away. It would seem.
No.
Of course, we didn't really expect it to. I mean,
that's the real infection.
We knew this crap was going to be here for a long time.
I mean, I wish it was some other way, but as long as people keep putting up with it, they're going to keep dishing it out. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, and it's getting worse. Obviously, that was going to happen. The coronavirus cases were going to increase inevitably. Mm-hmm. And in response to that, governors are now locking down again. Evidently, there's news out of North Dakota. They're right up to crap. Vermont, of course, has basically just canceled Thanksgiving.
And it's not just Vermont. Chicago, various other places have been issuing very similar orders. There's so much of it in the news. It's, you know, we can't even report on all of it.
So what is North Dakota doing?
So North Dakota, and the reason why this is relevant is because North Dakota previously has not had these level of restrictions. But now the governor is saying that it must be done. He says our situation has changed and we must change with it. In his news release, he says the state's doctors and nurses, quote, need our help and they need it now. So he's like, you know, oh, you're supposed to feel bad for these people in the hospitals. And so therefore, just do what we say so you can help a nurse. You don't dislike nurses, do you?
I neither like nor dislike nurses. I mean, they're working an occupation that they went to school for because that's what they wanted to do.
Right.
They can either find a different career
or they can
do their job.
After a spring in which North Dakota had relatively few COVID-19 cases, the disease spread rapidly over the summer and has only picked up steam since, according to the AP. As of Saturday, there were only 18 free intensive care unit beds and 178 non-ICU beds in hospitals throughout the state. Healthcare professionals and some community leaders had been pleading for months with Burgum to impose such restrictions. Rather than actually increase the number of ICU beds, because as you pointed out, pretty much everybody should have known that there was going to be another spike during
the especially healthcare professionals.
Yeah. But no, they want restrictions. Healthcare professionals have been pleading for these
restrictions. They want restrictions that demonstrably did not work anywhere else they were trying.
Even the World Health Organization has admitted that lockdowns don't work at this point, but they're still going forward with it.
Well, of course they do, because it's not about science, it's about control.
It's exactly
science
what it
was is just the excuse that they used.
Right. And now they're still pointing to, well, look, see, the medical people, they want this.
Oh, look, the CDC now says you should wear a mask. I know that you should be locked down. I know the World Health Organization disagrees, but, oh, they're the bad guy now, and the CDC is the one you can trust. There's always these competing health industries where they can always find one that's going to justify their control.
The science is settled. On a tour of Bismarck last month, Dr. Deborah Birx, the White House coronavirus response coordinator, described the state's mask use and COVID-19 protocols as the worst she'd seen anywhere in the country. Rachel Heinz, who works as an emergency room nurse at a Bismarck hospital, said Saturday she was relieved the mask order was issued. It's about time, she said. Nurses and other healthcare professionals who have been frustrated that their calls for mask mandates have been ignored which probably caused...
Have you tried reasoning with people? Instead of putting a gun to their head
apparently,
and forcing them to obey?
Apparently that's what they did try to do, and that's not good
enough.
Well,
they tried reasoning with the governor, or they tried compelling the governor to issue a mandate. But did they actually try to explain to people why they should wear a mask?
Well, I don't really care.
I don't care either, but you got to think most people would.
I don't know. Maybe in North Dakota, most people didn't care because there are some...
Well, they have the right to not care.
Yeah.
I don't know how to tell these nurses that.
They should have the right to take a risk. That's what life is about. It's about taking risks. If you don't take risks in your life, how can you ever expect any success? How can you ever expect to get ahead? How can you ever expect to have fun?
Well, they don't want people having fun.
I know. Nurses have been frustrated that their calls have been ignored, which they say caused the increased cases, deaths, grief, and overwhelming burden on their hospital workers. She said, quote, "Nurses are used to shouldering a big burden, but when you see us cracking, you know how big of a toll this is taking on us. This is a step in the right direction."
May I suggest finding a different line of work?
Under the order, people throughout the state, well, but it pays pretty good, right?
Presumably.
People throughout the state must wear face coverings inside of businesses and indoor public settings, as well as in outdoor public settings where physical distancing isn't possible. So that's pretty much your standard mask mandate that has been in place in most places, although we've seen Massachusetts recently say that now anyone who's outside must always have a mask on, no matter how far away they are from anyone else.
No way.
Oh, yeah, that happened like 2 or 3 weeks ago. It includes exceptions.
What is the law here in Keene? It's just when going
only
into
a business,
right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's also a restriction on like multi-unit housing.
Yeah, so, that's like, right. If there's three or more people in your apartment, you have to wear a mask anytime you leave.
In the common areas. So like in the stairwell or whatever.
What a hellscape.
It includes exceptions for children under the age of 5, individuals with a medical or mental health condition and or disability that makes it unreasonable to wear a mask, and an exception for religious services. Failure, which is something you wouldn't find in other states. Failure to comply comes with a penalty of up to $1,000, although it's unclear how the order will be enforced. Grand Forks Police Sergeant Barb McLeod said the department was reviewing the order, saying, quote, "We're going to focus on education and we will try very hard not to file charges," she said. And that's because it looks bad when they, you know, in places like North Dakota, it will not be a good look for the police to be charging people with these ordinances. In fact, we have not seen, I don't know if any tickets have been written here in Keene, New Hampshire. So
they
there's
have not.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of huff and puff in some places, but not a lot of enforcement. And that's a good thing. I'm glad that they're not enforcing it in certain cases.
Well, they've threatened people.
But yeah, and I mean, they're getting voluntary, or not voluntary, but involuntary obedience. And it's to the point where it's probably 95 to 99% obedience here in Keene, which is sad. Burgum also directed all bars and restaurants to limit capacity to 50%, and he closed all in-person service between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. Large-scale venues are also limited to 25% capacity.
What in the hell do these people think happens between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m.?
The better parties.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. eating at a restaurant where seating capacity isn't reduced and tables aren't spaced at least 6 feet apart is in the Centers for Disease Control's highest risk category for contracting COVID-19. And so they did talk to somebody who disagrees, Rick Becker. He's a Republican state rep who's a plastic surgeon. So he's a doctor. And he owns two bars in downtown Bismarck. He said Saturday he will refuse to wear a mask and that he suspects many others in the conservative state will protest the, quote, draconian, unquote, directive. And I hope he's right about that. He went on to say that he thinks the order to close bars at 10 p.m. is nonsensical. Quote, "Where is the data that shows COVID comes out more after 10 o'clock?
I would love to see that data.
At least there's a little bit of pushback here.
I hope we see more pushback. I mean, because a lot of these people, they just, like, as Sununu rightfully points out, you know, restaurants can't afford another 4 months of not having any business whatsoever. Neither can bars. I mean, they're
going out of business.
These places will close permanently.
Even more of them will.
855-450-3733. It's Free Talk Live.
Having taken her father's throne, Sarah Calhoun has fallen out with one of her best allies, and her brother Nathaniel heads into Imperial Philadelphia with a reckless plan. Her uncle Thomas, armed with new powers and new allies, aims to remove Sarah from her throne and from the world of the living. To survive and to gain the strength she needs to fight an impossible war, Sarah must unite the Mound Builder Kings to enact an ancient rite that will propel her beyond mortality. Servant Daughter by T.J. Butler is the newest entry in the Dragon Award-winning Witchy War series from Bane Books at BaneBooks.com.
Yeah!
Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, the only show where you can call in to talk about anything that's on your mind. 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Aria.
Yeah, it's Ian.
And AnyPay 2.0 is here, and crypto payments are now faster than ever. If you're using Edge Wallet, Handcash, Bitcoin.com, or the Dash Wallet, your experience will be smooth. But some wallets aren't ready for the impressive new technology. And these wallet programmers need to hear from you, the wallet users. Visit AnyPayInc.com/upgrade to learn why some popular wallets are incompatible with AnyPay 2.0 and reach out to the wallet programmers and encourage them to make payments perfect at AnyPayInc.com/upgrade. Another really awesome thing they've done is added a plugin for the WooCommerce application for WordPress. So if you have an online store, with just a few clicks, you can accept cryptocurrency payments on your store. In fact, I'm selling my campaign signs now at fpolice.com, EFFpolice.com.
Okay,
and
great.
The only payment methods we accept is cryptocurrency.
How's that been going? Because I know that you got a lot of inquiries via email during your Aria for Sheriff campaign.
It's not going. Most people, it would seem, don't have crypto and aren't willing to acquire it to buy a campaign sign.
Yeah.
So I don't care. I'm not budging on it.
Okay.
For one, the only other alternatives are like PayPal, and they banned me for life, so I can't use them anyway. I can't get banned from cryptocurrency, though, so.
Nope, thank goodness.
Thank goodness, and thank goodness for AnyPay. They do a lot of really awesome stuff there. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got Vernon calling from New Orleans. Vernon, you're on Free Talk Live.
So our mayor, Her Majesty, Mayor Cantrell, a few weeks ago, she was like, let's ask the public what they want, what they think a safe Mardi Gras should be like. And so she asked for us to submit comments. She asked for the crews with the, you know, with the floats and everything, the parades to submit comments. And we had, you know, until I think the end of this month to submit that, or maybe next month. Well, all of a sudden, for some reason today, all of a sudden they post to the FAQ on the New Orleans website that Mardi Gras no parades will be allowed, basically canceling Mardi Gras, even though we were still in this public comment period. So to me, it feels like the public comment period was just a farce.
Just basically. For show. Like it's just for show.
It was just for show, exactly. So they basically, it sounds like they've canceled Mardi Gras. Now that's the idea they put on a press conference, and they're like, well, we were just posting that, just in case that decision was made or something. But obviously there was an error made somewhere. So it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
That is often the case, though. A lot of the times, like, city councils will have, you know, public comment periods. Even Congress, I think, occasionally has public comment periods, but they don't have to follow. They can take your suggestions and ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more often than not what they do.
Right. The public comment period is the whole point of public comment is to make it appear as though they care about what you're saying, when the point of fact is they've already made up their minds and it's just for show. Just to make people think that, you know, they matter.
Right. Exactly. Well, one other thing to just add to this, parishes, which are the equivalent to counties mm-hmm. in Louisiana, are the surrounding parishes are basically like, if you have a parade permit anywhere in the state of Louisiana, you can come and do your parade here. We're cool. You know, like basically New Orleans has to be completely different than the rest of the state. Like the rest of the state, you know, has pretty much opened up in some form or fashion, and you know, bars have been reopening and everything, while New Orleans just this past week finally allowed people to start going into bars again for the first time since March. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Oh, they're going to change that in the next 2 weeks. Just watch.
Oh, I bet you they will. You're right. Well, hey, thank you.
That's what San Francisco did. San Francisco reopened. Quote, reopened at 25% capacity inside restaurants back in, I don't know, mid-September, sometime in September. And, you know, about a month later, they've locked down again.
Vernon, thank you so much for the call. That's what we've been seeing. I mean, that's really what we expected. I mean, I expected a round two of the lockdowns. I really don't feel like lockdown round one ever really ended, but that's
no, it never really did.
But all people think it did.
Right. Well, that's because they had this publicity around, we're reopening. Even though the reopening was just a ton of restrictions, like the masks inside the restaurants and the 25 to 50% capacity, plus the 6-foot distance between the tables, plus, you know, all the other stupid rules that they're just shoving down these businesses' throats, that was supposed to be, quote, reopening, even though we never really got fully reopened pretty much anywhere, with a few exceptions. I've heard that Florida might be the exception. But if you're down there in Florida and you want to comment, let us know. I think it was actually Mark who said that there's still tremendous obedience down in Florida as well. So it's not like...
Tragic.
Yeah.
Where's Florida, man, when you need them?
Well, I suspect there's differences between the urban areas and the less urban, you know, the rural areas. You're probably... And that's true in a lot of places. It's true here in New Hampshire, too. It's true... You're going to find that true, I think, across the country. There are going to be fewer people participating with these mandates in the non-city regions.
Speaking of urban areas, though, Chicago is also up to nonsense. A 30-day lockdown incoming for the city of Chicago. Again, basically canceling Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they're just explicitly. Chicago's Mayor Lori Lightfoot, according to ABC 7 in Chicago, actually said, quote, "You must cancel normal Thanksgiving plans, particularly if they include guests that do not live in your immediate household," which is, of course, the entire idea behind Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's not that you're having turkey with your family. You can do that anytime. It's the idea of, I mean, your direct family. It's sure. The idea of having your friends and your other family members coming together and giving thanks for all the good things that we have in life. And there are a lot of things worth giving thanks for, although the good things in life have gone down precipitously in just this last year of 2020. There's no more entertainment. There's no more, going out with friends and doing things, throwing parties or any fun stuff. Can't even have birthday parties for your kids.
So I heard that Metallica reimagined the song Disposable Heroes.
Really?
And that's always been one of my favorite Metallica songs because the lyrics are so on point. It's about as anti-war as a song can get.
Right.
So I wanted to check it out. And this is one of these live stream concert things where people in... Viewers were in hexagons on cameras all over the wall to make the band feel like they had
an audience,
even though there was just them playing in a room. It's first of all, the reimagining, it was absolutely awful. I'm embarrassed that Metallica did that.
What did they do?
They called it an acoustic version played heavy. So it was just a lot of, I don't know how to describe it. You would just have to watch it. It didn't sound anything like the original song.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just
it's like they took all the metal out of it.
Yeah, I guess. They made it a lot slower, and I understand.
Well, yeah, it's acoustic. I mean, what can you do?
It wasn't actually an acoustic, though. Uh-oh. And that was part of the thing he said. Hey, we reimagine this as a acoustic song that we're playing in the style of heavy metal, so hopefully you're as confused as we are. And then they just started playing on their normal instruments. I was like, when are you... You are confused.
They're going crazy.
Because you just butchered your classic song. They're going stir crazy, presumably. COVID crazy.
Were at the very least all of the band in the same room together?
Yes, they were. And none of them were wearing masks.
Okay.
But I follow the band Trivium on Twitter, and they're constantly having practices, and they're wearing masks in their practices. Oh. And it's tragic, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, these live rock performances, the audio quality was good, but it's only as good as your speakers, and the average person doesn't have, you know, arena quality speakers in their home. So what is even the point of this?
Well, you could put on headphones.
You could just play the live album. Or you could play a live album or play the studio album. I don't understand the point of this at all. The whole point of going to a rock concert isn't to watch the band perform. It's to experience the energy of a performance.
Sure.
Same reason people go to plays instead of just sitting at home watching DVDs.
Exactly.
We
get it. Maybe other people just don't care.
Just like the point of having a dance party is to actually go out and socialize and dance with people, not
sit
at home
alone.
Dancing with your cat or whatever in a Zoom meeting.
But that's what's actually happening. The local venue in downtown Keene has one of these. I don't know if they already had it. It might have already transpired. I'm not sure when it's expected to happen, but a dance at home party where you pay them $25 in order to connect to their Zoom meeting.
And dance alone.
And they have a band ostensibly playing live, but you wouldn't really know because they could just play a video, to which you can then dance by yourself or with your wife or whoever happens to be in the room with you.
Or your cat.
Yeah.
855-453 as in free of sin. It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you tonight is Ari and Ian, and I'm going to break away from COVID-19 because we talked about this not too long ago, this Donald Trump saying that he was going to end the war in Afghanistan by the end of the year. You made the point that it could have been that Trump wants to be remembered. He wants to have some sort of legacy to attach his name to, and ending this 20-year war would be one of the most effective ways of establishing that legacy.
It would have been, but apparently there's news.
There is news, and it's not good. The U.S. has announced further drawdown of troops in Afghanistan and Iraq before Biden takes office. Now, let's keep that in mind. Withdrawing from Iraq, because a lot of Democrats seem to be under the impression that Obama ended the war in Iraq. And of course, we still the United States government still has troops there. Acting Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller announced Tuesday that the U.S. will withdraw thousands more troops from Afghanistan and Iraq by January the 15th, just days before President-elect Joe Biden takes office.
Okay.
Miller said that the withdrawal will leave approximately 2,500 troops in Afghanistan and roughly the same number in Iraq. So still 5,000 soldiers in these places fighting these wars that are never, ever, ever going to end.
Shameful. Shameful, Trump.
It, quote, does not equate change to U.S. policies or objectives, but he provided no details about the plan and refused to answer questions following Tuesday's appearance in the Pentagon briefing room.
That's too bad. Trump had said that he was going to withdraw. It sounded like he was saying all of the troops from Afghanistan by Christmas time. And then they pushed it back a week, and now it sounds like it's going to be pushed back two more weeks, and it's not going to be all of them.
I would be surprised if it's any of them. Yeah. Currently, there are about 4,500 U.S. troops in Afghanistan and 3,000
So they're only
troops.
Pulling 2,000 out. Because they're going to leave 2,500, and there's now 4,500, so they're only going to pull 2,000. That's not much.
No, and they're only pulling 500 out of Iraq.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's... Total
that's
show.
Not even, almost not even worth talking about.
No, but the disappointment is worth talking about.
No, that's an important update. I'm glad that you shared that.
That was the one good thing that could have come out of this Trump presidency, other than the laughter and the lulls.
There's still one other possible. I mean, I would say it's a long shot. If he's not going to do the troops thing, I don't see why he would do this other thing, which is to say to pardon and or commute Ross Ulbricht's sentence.
That would be amazing.
And to pardon or drop charges on Edward Snowden and Julian Assange. In fact, there was apparently a tweet from Congressman, I think he's a congressman, is his name Thomas Massey, that actually tagged Donald Trump in the tweet. Now, I'm sure thousands of people tagged Donald Trump, so I suspect he's never going to see it. But it is a congressman, so maybe there's a chance.
Massey wants Ulbricht.
And Massey actually called for Trump to release Julian, or not release Assange, but to essentially drop charges on Assange, to drop charges on Snowden, and to commute the sentence of Ross Ulbricht. All three of them. He actually, in one tweet, mentioned all three of them and tagged.
He's going for that libertarian presidential nomination in 2024.
Maybe that's all it is. But he, at the very least, he tagged Donald Trump. Again, I'm just easily excited.
Sure.
You know,
I mean, that's great news.
It's not really news. It's just, okay, well, maybe. You know, if you and I tag Donald Trump, he's not going to see it, right? Like, if you look at any one of his tweets, there's 33,000 comments.
If he does happen to see it, he's just going to ignore it.
Probably. I mean, I don't know how he feels about this particular congressman. Maybe he has respect for him. If so, maybe he'll consider it. It's a long shot, but honestly, it's the only shot Ross Ulbricht has, because Joe Biden is never going to. I mean, there's no chance that Joe
Kamala
Biden.
Kamala locked up people like Ross Ulbricht for a living.
Joe Biden is an architect of the war on drugs. He's the creator of the RAVE Act. This guy hates fun.
Let's go to the phones. We got Tom calling from New Hampshire. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live.
What they got to do, the Constitution allows for a House of Representatives not to exceed one member for every 30,000. And when you got 300 million residents of the shape on the map, that would be 10,000. And now there's more than 300 million, so proportionally more than 10,000. The cost of remodeling on Capitol Hill would be negligible.
What is the point of this? What, you're saying there should be thousands of representatives?
Thousands of representatives.
Why would that do anything differently except give us an even more expensive federal government, because all of them would then get a paycheck?
All of them would then get a paycheck, but if the job is so big that they have to have dozens of staff members, then increase the number of them.
They would all have dozens of staff members. If you had thousands of them, they would all have the same staff.
No, you would increase the number of representatives, but reduce one staff member in Washington, D.C., and one staff member in their district.
So you would just pay more. You would pay the same number of people. You would just change their job title.
But that's not how it would be. They're not going to do. If they were going to take on this idea of quintuple or whatever the number of representatives, they would just all have the same size staffs, because they would say that, well, we're still busy. Now more people are contacting us because they think we want to listen, because they think that, they have more of an influence over us. So it wouldn't make any difference.
Okay. The last thing I want is more rulers in the first place.
Yeah, there's no amount of restructuring the federal government that's going to make this system any better, Tom. You should know that by now.
Yes, there is one other thing they got to do.
A good coat of fire? That's what they need to do.
Each member would have a staffer in D.C. and one staff member in the district, because they would have less casework assistance, people needing help with immigration and other federal agencies, because there's for their constituents. But also,
these people don't even read the bills that are put in front of them. Why do you think they would actually limit their amount of staff they don't even have to pay for?
This is pure political fantasy.
But then the Electoral College would have to be picked by state lawmakers and state bureaucrats. For the same reason that the United States Senate was set up to be representing the states, and therefore getting people who are pretty much sent there, not by the people.
What is the benefit of any of this?
It's so lame. It's like listening to somebody's little political fantasy.
Tom, thank you so much for the call.
Impossible.
It does remind me of the libertarians who are like, hey, the election could result in a tie of 269.
Yeah. And then they'll vote for the libertarian.
It could go to the House. Yeah, it's never going to happen. the state is perfectly happy with the system that it has in place.
Yeah.
That's
they don't
sort
care
of
what
the
you
issue.
Want. They don't care what you want, and you're not going to ever be in charge of it. So why bother, playing with yourself mentally like this? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're basically asking the 400 or 500 state reps to give themselves less power.
Never gonna happen.
Yeah, that's
give up. You're wasting your breath.
Interesting idea.
Yeah,
I mean, we're happy
to hear it, but
I just don't see what the benefit would be to anyone. And as you pointed out, they would just hire the same amount of staff.
Of course,
they're bureaucrats.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how busy they actually are. It matters how busy they claim to be.
That's right.
And all they have to do is look like they're always in a hurry and problem solved.
Push that pencil.
So, major troop reductions, they're calling these, in Iraq and Afghanistan. But ultimately, it's minor. It's about 500 people being withdrawn from Iraq and about 2,000 in Afghanistan, which is a significant chunk of what's there. But it's not
ending
the war.
That's not a legacy.
And that's
that's not memorable.
I mean, Obama did this crap regarding Iraq, and that was 4 years ago? How long has Trump been president?
Well, maybe, and it doesn't even sound like they'll be home in time to have a non-Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the poor guys. And because this is right before Biden takes office.
Yeah.
Biden's not going to end these wars either. He's a
neocon.
Definitely
not.
Trump was probably, sadly, Donald Trump was probably the best anti-war president we've had in a very long time. At the very least, he didn't start any new ones.
That's true.
And that's a legacy-ish.
Yeah, you're scraping, but,
I mean, yeah, that's the best thing I can say about Trump, is that he didn't start any new wars. Biden
will. We're going to miss him when he's gone, though.
I'm going to miss the hilarity.
That's what I mean.
He's probably going to be banned from Twitter, too, after he's no longer president.
Well, he can go to Gab.
Yeah, with the other alt-right people, I guess. They're going somewhere else now. It's called Parler or something.
Gab? Oh, the alt-righters.
Well, no, conservatives.
Yeah. I've heard about it.
Are leaving Twitter to go to Parler.
It's the new thing until it's no longer the new thing, and they crack down too, right? Because at some point, they'll probably put in restrictions.
I'm just reminded of QAnon, and I'm no follower of QAnon. I just happened to see this one thing that somebody posted to Facebook. How the plan here was to divide the social networks into two areas, where you had the leftists over here and you had the conservatives over here. And then immediately after the election, the conservatives started going over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Human nature being human nature, though, some things just aren't hard to predict. Facebook has been cracking down. Twitter has been cracking down on conservatives. It was inevitable that eventually they would go somewhere else, and they're just finally doing it. Trump, I do expect to be banned from Twitter at some point. Tragic, because I'm not joining Gab just to follow Donald Trump. I don't care that much. Maybe you do. 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live.
Freedom! Freedom is the call of the untamed Scotsman and all others that want to feel the wind under their kilts.
At Free Talk Live, we love the breezy swinging feeling that only a kilt from Sport Kilt can give.
We teamed up with Sport Kilt to let you experience their form of freedom at a discount. Go to kilts.freetalklive.com and see a picture of Richie and me in our kilts.
And then head over to sportkilt.com. Get some stylish freedom for yourself and use code FTL for a 10% discount. Sportkilt.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Talk radio you control. As always, you can call in and take control of the airwaves. Talk about whatever is on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733, which tonight it's Aria.
And it's Ian.
And back to the story about Chicago, who has canceled Thanksgiving, saying, throw out your normal Thanksgiving plans. They're locking down for 30 days, apparently.
That's what? It. Just 30 days. It will never be extended.
No, of course not.
No, they would never want to ruin Christmas.
I totally trust the government.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just surprised Halloween got by in some places. I imagine It was really lame, but I'm surprised it was even allowed to happen.
It was, I would say, reduced somewhat here in Keene, but there were still some people out and about, and we did the dangerous version here at the house. We just left a pot full of candy out front for all the kids to reach their hands into.
How horrible. You didn't have the little shoot thing
no,
going
the
out
candy
to
shoot,
throw
the,
candy at kids or
the
whatever?
The PVC pipe that that they would put on like their stoop or the steps or whatever, the railing, and then like a long PVC pipe attached to the railing so the person who owns the house stood at the top of the steps and would just feed the candy down the chute to the kids below.
Why even have the chute? Just chunk it at the kids.
Yeah,
here,
just
catch.
Entirely impersonal, ridiculous thing. But now you've got the latest on the Thanksgiving crackdown here, where Mayor Lori Lightfoot, and we mentioned this briefly in the last hour, that she is saying, quote, you must cancel normal Thanksgiving plans, particularly if they include guests that do not live in your immediate household. Now remember, this isn't just a Chicago thing. The California government has, or the governor there has, a bunch of restrictions that he put into place. We talked about that just a couple of weeks ago, where you can't even have an inside Thanksgiving. If you're going to have one, it has to be outdoors. Everyone has to be 6 feet away from one another if they're not in the same household. But in some cases, they're just saying, like in Chicago here, you can't even have guests over if they're not from your immediate household. The advisory is part of a series of new measures called the Protect Chicago Strategy to stop the spread of COVID-19, which, of course, won't work because none of these things are working to stop the spread.
No, and you would hope that human hubris would get checked at some point by this virus. I mean, I know humans think a lot of themselves, but this is, again, a force of nature,
right?
An actual virus. You, with your silly monkey brain, cannot stop it. It's going to happen, and whatever the consequences are going to be, are going to be.
Wasn't there a politician just tonight who had said, had some like tough talk that you read about, like, well, we're gonna come down and hunt down COVID-19 and stop it dead in its tracks, as though like they were gonna like turn loose the I forget which one it was, but as though, you know, they're gonna sick the National Guard with their guns on COVID-19 and have them exterminated or something like that.
Well,
it's
they
ridiculous.
Seem to think they can.
Yeah,
I mean, they call it the invisible enemy, right? Just like terrorism.
Yeah.
And it's just as risky and dangerous to you as terrorism.
Yeah, well, that's
which
that's
is to
a great
say
point.
None at all.
It was actually Trump who used the term invisible enemy. This was earlier this year. We talked about that. And in the clip that Vincent from Questioning Authority was playing of Joe Biden, Biden was saying the same crap Trump was saying about how this is a war. We're in a war against COVID-19.
We're in a war against nature.
Yeah.
That's not going to end well for us.
You know what Randolph Bourne said about war, right? War is the health of the state. So anytime the state is in a state of war, they get to make the state bigger and make the state more intrusive and make the state more oppressive and more expensive than it's ever been. And so this is the perfect kind of conflict for the state, because they don't actually have to, you know, throw the military at the problem. They can just have this. There's no other, like,
well, they
side.
Already have one of those wars.
Yeah. Well, there's no other side to exterminate. But in the War on Terror, like, the War on Terror was the first step towards this, because it was the first time there's a war where it wasn't some sort of clear delineation of the sides. The side of the U.S. was delineated. Those guys have, you know, fatigues on and they got name badges and all that.
Yeah.
But the terrorists don't have a particular uniform. The terrorists aren't particularly identifiable, so it was like this nebulous concept, the War on Terror. Well, what does that mean? Well, whatever they say it means. Well, now it's even worse because it's the war on this COVID-19 or whatever other the next sickness might be that they want to go to war on. So now, unlike the War on Terror, where there was no real clear target except for brown people, now it's everyone's the target. Now anyone's the possible enemy, because anyone can carry the enemy. So now they can just use this to stop everybody in the streets instead of just brown people. It used to be if you were a brown person, you know, or you looked or sounded Muslim, then you were in trouble. Now it's everyone, as long as you're not, you know, a member of the political class. Because did you see the story about the California politicians going to Hawaii on a vacation?
I did not.
Yeah, they're going to a resort in Hawaii.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. Terrifying thoughts. Let's go to the phones. We've got Ingrid calling from Maryland. Ingrid, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey.
Hey, what's on your mind?
How are you?
What's on your mind?
Yeah. Yeah, so I wanted to call. So I got a recent update about the Chris Cantwell situation.
Chris Cantwell, the political prisoner.
Yeah. Yes. So most people don't know. So, like, my birthday is 6 days before him, and then he got one of his friends to send me an Amazon gift.
Aww,
and then 3 days later, my Amazon account got hacked, and it was odd because someone tried to sell me a pillow, because for the last week, Cantwell was whining about his mattress.
Well, the mattresses are no fun when you're in jail. I mean, that is one of the worst parts.
No, his mattress from like his apartment, like he wants his mattress.
he wants it with him in jail?
Yeah, well, I would too. I mean,
you know, sure.
Why not? Unfortunately, that it doesn't work that way.
Not unless you're super rich.
Yeah, I have heard they have special cells in certain places for the rich people, and they charge them by the day. You ever heard about those?
I'm not surprised they exist. Yeah. I would have assumed that such a thing existed for like people like Epstein who go to jail. Yeah, they're not sleeping on those little cots.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure like somebody who was listening to our calls did that thing.
So was there an actual like update, Ingrid, or did you just want to tell us that Chris wants his mattress and his blankie?
And I was like, got a thing, and then I'm going to have a lawyer friend of mine submit a subpoena to Amazon so I can get the IP address. Because I think it's someone within the FBI or the jail who did that.
I don't think you can do that. I mean, I'm not an attorney, so I can't give legal advice. But the websites and things like that only respond to law enforcement as far as subpoenas are concerned. I don't think that you can just have an attorney whip up a subpoena. Those come from the court.
Well, maybe I have to go to the police.
Yeah, I suspect they're not going to help you.
Ingrid, I will tell you the same thing I tell everyone else. Never, ever, ever, ever go to the police.
Right, Chris should have learned
about
that lesson.
Anything. Don't make the same mistake
that
he did.
I know, but I just want to find out like who knows about his mattress.
I wouldn't worry about it.
What is the connection between Chris
Mattress?
Yeah. What is the connection between Chris Cantwell wanting his mattress and your Amazon account getting hacked?
So like I said, my birthday is November 6th, and he had his friend Jared Howe order me something on Amazon, and then like 3 days later, someone hacked into my Amazon account and tried to send me a pillow, and for like the last week, Chris has been complaining on the phone constantly about his mattress.
I don't think there's a connection here. I think
has he been complaining about his pillow?
He's been down for like over a year. Why would they give my account just now?
I don't know, but here's the way I see it, Ingrid.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's really worth time, being spent on this? I mean, if somebody tried to order you a pillow and didn't succeed, did they succeed at ordering
you? Well, they tried, but I stopped them because I contacted Amazon.
You canceled the order. Okay. Well,
were they charging your account?
Yeah, they were in my account, and I got the notification because it was with my email.
But did they use your credit card to order it, or was that like
on
file?
Yeah, they used my credit card.
Did they get it sent
to order me a pillow?
Are you sure they tried getting it sent to your house?
Yeah, it was sent to my house.
Okay, so here's the thing. Hiring an attorney is not going to give you, like, you're going to then be losing money trying to figure out who it was that sent this thing to you, and that's really nothing more than a minor curiosity.
It's very peculiar. Thank you, Ingrid, so much for the call.
It's also possible Ingrid ordered it and she just doesn't remember.
I do that all the time. 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733, which tonight is Ari and Ian. And next summer, mark your calendar from June the 28th through July the 4th. It's ForkFest 2021 at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is happening right after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but ForkFest is decentralized, which means that no one is in charge, and it means that there's no ticket cost. All you have to do is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June the 28th through July the 4th. You can relax and enjoy the camaraderie of like-minded people, or you can create whatever experience or event you'd like others to have. Last year, there was a masseuse, there was a chiropractor, there were countless places to eat really good food. It was amazing. You can connect with other ForkFesters via the unofficial Telegram chat or the ForkFest forum, and links to those are on the unofficial website, ForkFest.party. Again, June the 28th through July the 4th. We'll see you then, ForkFest.party, because I'm definitely attending. It may be the only event happening next year. At the rate things are going. It was one of the few that happened this year. And we didn't get hassled about it. The police did show up at one point, but I think that was during the... They did, but they didn't enter the campground.
Oh, okay.
You don't recall that?
No, not really.
And it was during the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I don't remember exactly what was going on or why it was happening.
Oh, yeah, I do vaguely recall that. I think they'd like rolled in and rolled right back out. It wasn't worth even talking about.
I think at one point they did, years ago, they tried to come into ForkFest or something.
We ran them right off.
Yeah. Kudos on that.
There's video.
I'm sure I would be shocked. I'm sure there are dozens of videos. Nah. Really?
Yeah, maybe one or two.
Okay.
I mean, there probably was more taken, but I don't think everyone uploaded theirs.
Good point.
Yeah.
So Chicago is locking down canceling Thanksgiving. So is Vermont. So is, I think, North Dakota, California, several other places. Sweden doing similarly, restricting gatherings to 8 or fewer people, or 7 or fewer people. If you have more than 8, you're in violation.
Mm-hmm.
Vermont, thankfully, if you live alone, for whatever reason, you can still go to other people's Thanksgiving dinners, it sounded like. The exception there was really bizarre.
I think it said it was only your immediate family.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Lame.
Oh, the lamification continues. There's more from Chicago, though, if you would like.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they've announced what they call the Protect Chicago Strategy to stop the spread of COVID-19, they say. The announcement comes, according to ABC 7 Chicago, as COVID-19 cases are increasing across the state and the city is on track to have 1,000 more people die from the virus by the end of the year, said Mayor Lightfoot as part of the advisory.
How many people? 1,000 by the end of the year?
Mm-hmm.
That seems like not very many people.
No, it really doesn't. In a city like Chicago?
Yeah.
As part of the advisory.
So okay. I hear your advice and discard it.
Right.
Can I do that?
The mixed terminology I find to be very confusing. So as part of the advisory, Chicagoans, and again, it's the media that loves to say this when it comes to government. The media loves to use the term asked.
Yeah.
Chicagoans are asked to only leave the house for work. Oh, you just asking, officer? Are you asking or are you ordering, officer? Because if you're just asking, then I'll kindly decline your request and go about my business. If you're ordering, well, then you're going to likely hurt me if I don't go on with what you say. So they're not asking if they're actually threatening you with penalties, which they are. So asked to only leave the house for work or school or essential needs, which includes getting medical care, going to the grocery store or pharmacy, getting takeout food, or to receive deliveries. Of course, as you know, a lot of hospitals and doctors are actually refusing medical care to, like, patients that might need something other than COVID-related attention.
Yeah.
Anything that's an elective is being completely disregarded in a lot of places. Quote,
not
no
here
visitors.
In New Hampshire. It was briefly, but it resumed back in like September. Elective surgeries and stuff like that did.
No visitors should be in your home unless they're essential workers like home health care or education workers, said Lightfoot. So no friends allowed. The city is imposing a new capacity limit of 10 people on meetings and social events, including birthdays, weddings, business dinners, and funerals. The capacity limit does not supersede industry-specific guidelines, which can be found at chicago.gov/reopening. So again, if your loved one happens to pass away during this time, well, sorry if you wanted to have, you know, all the people that they might have touched in their life come together in one place. Nope, you can only have 10.
Yeah, and the same for weddings.
That's right.
Weddings are and childbirthing, and weddings are things that people plan sometimes for years.
Sorry. You won't be able to do that in Chicago. Officials strongly recommend that residents not gather with anyone outside of their household, including trusted family members and friends, for Thanksgiving. It is recommended that families celebrate virtually instead of gathering in person. Boy, Grandma, that turkey sure looks like it might smell real good.
I do regret not buying a lot of Zoom stock 2 years ago. It never occurred to me to, so I mean, it's not really a regret, but man, it sure would have been nice to have done that 2 years ago.
Quote,
virtual Thanksgiving.
Sounds awful. Just
awful
to
me. It does. Well, I mean, don't even bother with the virtual Thanksgiving. Just install The Sims and have your imaginary family cook a Thanksgiving dinner and watch them enjoy it while you eat a turkey sandwich. At least that would be better. It would be more entertaining, and it would be more real than this...
A virtual Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I mean, can you... It's just... It's all so lame, and it's all so pathetic. I'm so tired of commenting on it.
That was what my thought last night when I was watching the Metallica reimagining of...
Yeah. It's the same crap, constantly repackaged and shoved down our throats. Now it's a virtual Thanksgiving. I mean, it's like the whole point of Thanksgiving... Besides getting together with people, is one of the reasons you get together is because everybody can kind of do some things better than others, right? So, like, grandma's good at making the turkey, or grandpa's, or, you know, the uncle is good at making the stuffing, or right? Like, everybody's got their recipe that they've perfected over the years, and they bring to the table. And
see, I thought the whole point of Thanksgiving was to get a whole bunch of people together so that you could give each other diseases that then wiped out half, almost entirely... their population so that you could then take over the country.
You're going a little too far back.
Is that not the point? Okay. Just a few decades and gotcha.
The next months,
getting an infectious disease as a result of Thanksgiving, that's Thanksgiving tradition.
Quote, the next few months, winter, the flu, and COVID fatigue have the potential to truly create a catastrophe that could be avoided here, said Dr. Allison Ardwady, the commissioner of the...
COVID fatigue?
Yeah.
Is that people who are just sick of this crap and ready for it to go away? Well, then stop talking about flattening the curve because all that's going to do is extend it.
She says, I'm more worried about COVID right now than I have been since March. Lightfoot warned that in the next 7 weeks, the city could lose at least 1,000 more lives. With less than 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, Chicagoans are thinking deeply about how they'll celebrate. Rick and Janet Remiker are canceling their normal plans. She said, we have extended family in Wisconsin, and we're sad. Our niece has a new baby, and we haven't been able to see her. I think it's unprecedented times, and we just gotta suck it up and do what's best for the community.
That's tragic. So she has a newborn child in her life that she can't see.
That's
she
right.
wants to go and see her extended family, but won't.
Nope.
And it's all because she has this delusion of somehow by flagellating herself before the altar of the state, she becomes a better person. 855-450-3733. Again, 855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live.
What if the United States and the Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III from some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Weird World War III. Available now from Bane Books at banebooks.com.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And quarantine fatigue is real. Now, a lot of this article I don't agree with, but it's good to see someone in the media. This is The Atlantic.
I'm fatigued, and I'm not even going to be on quarantine. Like, I can just go out and do whatever I want to do, and it's fatiguing to be around all these people.
Yeah, I'm sick of it, man. I'm sick of wearing... I was always sick of wearing a mask at work.
Well, you've had to wear a mask at work, so that's sad.
But it wears on people. You know, human beings can take all manner of pain in small increments.
Mm-hmm.
Quick, sudden pain, okay. But it's when it's long and drawn out over an extended period of time, that's when people actually start breaking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to break an individual spirit by just breaking their arm.
Nope.
You have to do this for months and years. And that's pretty much what Americans have been experiencing, or human beings have been experiencing, in regard to this coronavirus nonsense. It's just a gradual...
It wasn't even gradual. It was just all on at one time. Just boom, all of a sudden... All these new restrictions, everything changed.
Yeah, but at first it was, okay, 2 weeks, we can handle 2 weeks.
Right.
And then it was, okay, well, we've been doing this for a month, and then two months, and now 8 months have gone by. And
then it was, oh, we're going to reopen. No, we're not.
Yeah, that was one of the worst things about it. Not, I expected a lot more pushback than what we're
seeing. It's been so disappointing.
I mean, I understand the concept of, you know, totally restricting people so that when you lift some of those restrictions, I mean, this is what the state does. It breaks your leg and then gives you a crutch and says, hey,
you should thank us.
Yeah, you have a crutch now. And you're like, okay, well, I'm walking with a crutch, but that's not as bad as how it was when I had a broken leg and no crutch. So I should be thankful. I understand. That's how the state does things. But it didn't seem to hurt them here at all.
No.
People actually did take the crutch and thank the government. Oh, thank you, government, for allowing me to go to this bar and socially distance from my friends.
Thanks for protecting my grandparents.
In the earliest years of the HIV epidemic, confusion and fear reigned. AIDS was still known as the gay plague. A lot of this is unrelated, so I'm going to skip it. But they make a lot of parallels between the HIV virus and the coronavirus in that when HIV first really became
prominent,
there was a lot of confusion, but the general recommendation was abstinence. If you asked a doctor, oh, what can I do? It wasn't, oh, well, have safe sex or take precautions or anything like that. It was just don't have sex.
Well, a lot of people back then thought they could get it from like sitting on the same toilet seat as somebody else.
Really?
Yeah, there was a lot of misunderstanding and confusion about it.
I'm not surprised, but the lockdowns have sort of worked the same way. And there's this, oh, well, we don't know how to actually prevent you from getting COVID-19.
So we'll act like we do.
So just stay at home.
Yeah.
Just don't have sex. The way that they're addressing
these things. Have sex. You just have to wear a mask.
Right, but the way that they're handling these things is identical. You know, they told the gay community, well, just don't have sex. You won't get HIV. And now they're telling people, oh, well, just stay at home and you won't get COVID-19.
And don't have sex.
Well, they say you can have sex now.
But you have to wear a mask and not face your partner. Did you hear about that?
I did not.
Yeah. So the idea is to remove all intimacy from any kind of sexual activity. Like the actual gazing into somebody else's eyes. No, you can't face your partner. The actual like kissing another person. No, you have to wear a mask. The actual like being close to somebody. No, you have to have the furthest away possible sexual position.
Or you have to use a plexiglass or something like that. I know a few cities have made some interesting suggestions for people.
Oh, yeah. They put plexiglass up now in the Lifetime movies for the kissing scenes. We talked about this a few days ago.
Hold on, what now?
Like Lifetime, the channel on television that makes, you know, all the cheapy movies that your mom loves to watch or whatever.
Sure.
So in the romantic scenes that they're filming, they're putting a plexiglass sheet between the actors that are kissing one another.
Oh, but you won't see this on camera?
That's what they say. They say they're going to remove it in post.
Okay. It's still horrifying. Hashtag stay home had its moment. The United States urgently needed to flatten the curve and buy time to scale up healthcare capacity, testing, and contact tracing. But quarantine fatigue is real. I'm not talking about the people who are staging militaristic protests against the supposed coronavirus hoax. I'm talking about those who are experiencing the profound burden of extreme physical and social distancing. It's nice to have a mainstream publication acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the economic hardship it causes.
But the Atlantic loves the lockdowns.
They do.
They are just pathetic in their coverage of all of this. It has been the most begging for government control. The Atlantic, so intellectual, they're so smart. I mean, I've enjoyed a lot of their work in the past.
Well, intellectuals have always allied themselves with the state because no one has any use for an intellectual in their daily lives.
Yeah.
I mean, in order to have a job, they have to ally themselves with the state.
The Atlantic has had some great reporting in the past, but it has gone completely downhill.
Isolation can severely damage psychological well-being, especially for people who were already depressed or anxious before the, quote, crisis.
But remember,
those
people's lives don't matter.
No, of course not. In a recent poll by the Kaiser Family Foundation, nearly half of Americans said that the coronavirus pandemic had harmed their mental health. Hashtag...
Half of them.
People matter, right? Mm-hmm.
No, those people don't matter. Remember, it's only the people who could get COVID. Those are the ones that we need to keep safe.
Only the 85-year-old diabetics matter. The 25-year-olds who are killing themselves out of isolation, they don't matter, right?
Yeah, I'm being facetious.
Obviously.
But that's actually what people think. Like, we've had those people call this show when I brought it up. This was months ago when this all first started, and I brought up, well, what about the people that are going to kill themselves? Because we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
What about the people who are going to get, you know, spiral back down into a drug addiction, you know, and possibly kill themselves because of overdose or whatever, right? What about these people? Oh, they would say, well, they chose that. So their lives don't matter. It's people who get COVID-19. They didn't choose that, so their lives are more important. That's honestly what these people believe.
They didn't choose depression, though.
Well, that's what they're saying. They say they chose to, you know, feel that way or whatever.
Insane.
Yeah.
But the choice between...
They chose to kill themselves, I should say. That was their choice.
Ah.
Yeah.
But the choice between staying home indefinitely and returning to business as usual is a false one. Risk is not binary, and an all-or-nothing approach to disease prevention can have unintended consequences. Individuals may fixate on unlikely sources of contagion, the package in the mail, the runner or cyclist on the street, while undervaluing precautions such as face masks that are imperfect but helpful. Public health campaigns that promote the total elimination of risk, because again, that's what's being peddled here. We have an article that we're probably not going to get to because it's from the New York Post and it's very short, but it's Anthony Fauci saying that, hey, even with the vaccine, this social distancing and these masks, they're not going away.
We covered it last night.
People want the total elimination of risk.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to have any risk whatsoever of contracting COVID-19. And that's what's peddled by the media.
Life doesn't work that way. Life has risks. You can't take it away.
So these public health campaigns that promote the total elimination of risk, like abstinence-only sex education, are a missed opportunity to support lower-risk behaviors that are more sustainable in the long term. Abstinence-only education is not just ineffective, but it's been associated with worse health outcomes, in part because it deprives people of understanding how to reduce their risk if they choose to have sex.
Right. Harm reduction.
Yeah, it doesn't teach them about STDs or any of these other things that, you know, they should probably know about. And without a nuanced approach to risk, abstinence-only messaging can inadvertently stigmatize anything less than 100% risk reduction. Americans have seen this unfold in real time over the past 2 months as pandemic shaming, the invective online and in person, directed at those perceived as violating social distancing rules, has become a national pastime. The anger behind...
Wow, are they actually calling out pandemic shaming in the Atlantic?
They are. I told you, man, it's a surprising article.
I don't know if this guy still has his job.
I don't agree with everything in it, but they make some good points.
Yeah.
The anger behind shaming is understandable. Photos of crowded beaches or videos of people at a large indoor party may make viewer feel as if they're watching coronavirus transmission in action. calling out seemingly dangerous behavior can also provide an illusion of control at a time when it's particularly hard to come by. But as years of research on HIV prevention have shown, shaming doesn't eliminate risk behavior. It only drives it underground.
Yeah.
People stop talking about it. They stop posting their pictures of their parties. We all know these things. Why are we having to learn them again? 855-450-FREE, as in free. Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and you can call in if you're quick and still get on the air with us. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Aria and Ian. And I want to say thank you to Steve, who is tonight's amplifier. He's a gold-level amplifier. That means that he gives $10 per month to the AMP program. We don't actually ask that much, though. All we ask is $5 per month to join. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. It's a program that is used strictly to advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live, hence its name. It comes with a number of cool little features like an AMP-only call-in line, an AMP-only Facebook group, and some other cool little stuff like that. And you can opt into having your name read out on the radio, just like Steve here has done. Thank you so much, Steve. We hope you continue amplifying the show. Check out the program, amp.freetalklive.com. Let's be real. Americans are beat down and run down after months of loss and social isolation. Coming to us from The Atlantic, I just checked the date of this article, though. This was actually written in May. I cannot help but wonder if the author still stands by this more than 6 months later. Masks do keep people from seeing facial expressions and hearing voices clearly, both vital elements of social connection. Yes, and therefore violations of the First Amendment right to free speech.
Yeah.
Masks don't deprive people of oxygen, but they do make it harder to breathe freely. They fog up people's glasses, they make noses itch and faces sweat. Many masks feel decidedly uncool. Well, they fixed that problem, didn't they, by turning masks into fashion statements.
It's a fashion thing, yeah.
They are yet another thing to remember when walking out the front door, and most of all, masks are a constant reminder of what Americans so desperately want to forget. That despite all of our sacrifices, the pandemic hasn't gone anywhere.
All of this is still true today.
Yep. Empathy has its own kind of power. Acknowledging what people dislike about a public health strategy enables a connection with them rather than alienating them further. And when the barriers are understood, they can be addressed. When it became clear that people needed better condoms, companies began making them in all different shapes, sizes, and styles. Ribbed, studded, and possibly thin, even glow-in-the-dark to improve various things. Likewise, the government needs to support businesses in developing masks that are not only effective, but also fit well and feel good.
The government needs to support the businesses.
People need a range of options, including
face
shields.
By the way, there's a headline right now about all those businesses that got money. Hundreds of firms that got stimulus aid, they failed.
Shocking. Well, you got to remember that the kind of business that needed money from the government in order to be profitable because they didn't have enough put back in order to survive a pandemic.
Right.
I pretty much just spelled out the reason they failed.
There's a fascinating story that we're not going to have time. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow about these mega corporations. Boeing, Carnival, Delta Airlines, Exxon, Macy's, some of these iconic companies. They're not earning enough to cover their interest expenses that they have to pay on the debts that they hold, which means that they're going to go bankrupt. And this is after receiving God knows how much money from the federal government. So the Fed's just throwing all this money around and weakening the dollar ever more as the very businesses they're supposedly bailing out are failing anyway.
Well, the airlines are screwed.
Oh, yeah.
Because travel isn't happening, because in many cases, travel can't happen. I'm not even sure it's possible to leave the United States right now to go anywhere else.
Most of, from what I understand, international countries don't want to take us.
Yeah, that's tragic. When the public health community talks about harm reduction, we often talk of, quote, meeting people where they are. A fundamental part of that is, well, literally meeting people where they are. Just like the buckets of free condoms stationed in gay bars, masks need to be dispensed where they're needed most. At the front of every bus, in the entrance to every airport, grocery store, and workplace.
That's what's happened.
It has. I mean, and it's solid reasoning here, but what if I choose not to wear a mask?
Mm-hmm.
What if I choose not to wear a condom? Masks should become ubiquitous.
I do that all the time.
As do I. But distribution should begin in areas where the coronavirus is hit hardest. There's not much else here that the article says that is really worth talking about. The decision of whether to wear a mask.
Let's fast forward to the latest Atlantic piece then.
Okay.
Because I've got that one.
Oh,
and,
good.
And I've jumped through most of this story. The headline is, "It's time to hunker down. A devastating surge is here. Unless Americans act aggressively, it will get much larger very quickly." So skipping past all of the this and that about all the numbers and all the fear. And then we get to the sort of here's what needs to happen part. So it says, "It's time to buckle up and lock ourselves down again." Now, this is a different author, by the way, at the Atlantic. "And so to do so, and to do so with fresh vigilance. Remember, we are barely 9 or 10 months, barely 9 or 10 months into this pandemic, and we have not experienced a full-blown fall or winter season. Everything that we may have done somewhat cautiously and gotten away with in the summer may carry a higher risk now, because the conditions are different and the case baseline is much higher. When community transmission is this high, every kind of exposure is more dangerous. A gym class is more likely to have someone who is infectious. Workplaces will have more cases, meaning more employees will unknowingly bring the virus home."
Yes, and the vast majority of them won't demonstrate any symptoms, and everything will be fine.
"More people at the grocery store will be positive. A casual gathering of friends may be harder to hold outdoors. Even transmission from surfaces may pose a higher risk now, because lower humidity levels may improve the survivability of the virus.
Plus, oh, God.
The holidays are upon us, which means a spike in gatherings of people who do not otherwise see one another. Such get-togethers, especially if they are multi-generational, can spark more outbreaks. I take no joy in saying this, but all of this means that any gathering outside of one's existing quarantine pod..."
Oh, God.
"...should be avoided for now, especially if it's indoors. Think of it as a postponement and a plan to hold it later. Because, you know, everybody's going to hold Halloween later and Thanksgiving later and Christmas later. No, it's not going to be held later. It's not going to happen.
And there may not be a later. You could die next week."
Mm-hmm. "And if you're elderly and you hadn't seen your kids, then you didn't get to see them at your last Christmas. Better a late Christmas than an early medical catastrophe. Pods should not expand. Your pods should not expand unless absolutely necessary. Order takeout instead of dining indoors. Make game night virtual. Shop in bulk so you can do fewer trips to the store. It's not the right time for wedding receptions or birthday parties. Young people present one of the biggest challenges. Many colleges are ending school and sending students home for what could be a countrywide super spreader event. That age group, young adults, is especially dangerous. Although they can get infected, they are less likely to get very sick, so they don't stay put the way sick people would. That means they pose a great risk to their more vulnerable parents."
Might that be because they're not sick?
Well, they're saying that they are sick, but...
Well, they have a virus, but they have all kinds of viruses on them all the time. But they're not sick, so they're more likely to go out because they're not sick.
"Which means they'll pose a great risk to their more vulnerable parents and other older relatives as they go about their lives. Ideally, colleges should offer the students already on campus the option to stay in the dorms over winter break, and those who live in off-campus housing should consider staying put. If they do go home, the students should quarantine for the recommended 2 weeks to the greatest degree possible. It might also be time for ordinary people to consider using higher quality masks, N95s and KN95s, you know, the ones that are way more expensive and you have to throw away every 8 hours, or 4 hours, or however long they last, something that public health experts have long recommended. This is especially true for low-wage workers, a disproportionate number of whom are people of color and have to work indoors, older people.
Yes, and therefore unlikely to be able to afford one of these higher quality masks.
Well, the government will just...
Oh, of course.
And people with pre-existing conditions that put them at a higher risk. Ideally, we'd have a significant aid package, allowing businesses to remain closed and workers to stay home as much as possible, while also increasing workplace standards through better ventilation and masks. Tragically, that doesn't seem to be in the cards."
Well, at least the author here is able to maintain some sense of realism.
This author is out of their effing mind.
Yes, but that statement at least is true. That's not in the cards. The rest of this is insane, hysterical babbling, but that statement is true. That
is
not in the cards.
It's still wise to avoid hoarding. Most people don't need that many, and this surge will put a fresh strain on supplies.
It already has.
Yeah, as long as they are put on and taken off carefully, use hand sanitizer before and after. Such masks are reusable after being left in a paper bag or breathable container for at least 5 days, which means as few as five are enough to rotate through a typical work week for people who work with others, especially indoors. All of this is unpleasant, but the alternative is much worse. There's a Turkish saying for times like these, when we can see a light at the end of the tunnel. Quote, time passes quickly if we can count the days until the end, unquote. We are no longer in the open-ended, dreadful period of spring 2020, when we did not know if we'd even have a vaccine, whether any therapeutics would work, and whether we'd ever emerge from the shadow of this pandemic. We can see the cavalry coming, but until it's here, we need to lock ourselves down once again. From the Atlantic.
I'm not locking down at all, and I don't think other people should either. And even if you do, even if you wait on the vaccine, as Fauci says, even with the vaccine,
nothing's
going
to change.
This crap isn't going nowhere.
Until you refuse.
And as Sweden said, you know, this is your new normal. Deal with it. Stop dealing with it. Stop accepting it. This has been Free Talk Live.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream, for everyone to use it in everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that's as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than 2 decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.